I hope you've all had a great week, and I'm looking forward to another beautiful, beautiful week as we start another week today. Matthew chapter number 23, I'm going to read a few verses. Matthew chapter number 23, and I'm going to start reading from verse number 5. We started a series two weeks ago, and we'll just continue with that. By the way, I want to say thank you to everyone that participated in, you know, one thing or the other regarding the Mother's Day. Thank you for serving the Lord, for serving God's people. It was an awesome time last week when Pastor Brookie preached on "It is well." It is well. Matthew chapter number 23, I'm going to be reading from verse 5. "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They made their phylacteries broad and enlarged the borders of their garments. They love the best seats of feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your another opportunity to go into your word this morning. Lord, we recognize that the word here is not ours. This word is not mine. And we just humbly submit ourselves to you, Spirit of the living God. We ask that you will reveal the heart of the Father to us this morning. Lord, speak to us in the way we'll understand. Communicate to us in a way that we will not forget in a hurry. Lord, I pray that you will anoint the ears and the hearts of your people so that this gathering is not going to be another boardroom meeting. It's not going to be another lecture series. It's not going to be another seminar presentation. But Lord, it's going to indeed be an encounter with your Spirit. Let this word transform us, both the speaker and the hearer. Lord, anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer this morning. Lord, let me only speak your mind to your people so that all of us at the end of it all will have been tremendously blessed and transformed more and more to the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire is to live according to your will. Our desire is to learn how, as believers, we ought not to live. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you reveal this to us in Jesus' mighty name. And the church say aloud, amen. You know, advertisers use millions of dollars to advertise their products year in, year out, to put their product on platforms where people are able to see them. Some even go to the extent of actually putting their dollars in understanding the science of attention. In other words, they want to understand how to catch people's attention in order to sell their products. You know, researchers have found out, you know, advertisers mostly, they have found out that it only takes about 6.5 seconds, that's all they've got in order to be able to grab the attention of you and her, you know. It used to be in the range of 10 to 12 seconds, you know, in the late 90s and very early 2000s. But now we don't have that luxury of time. You want to sell your product, you need to grab the attention of the prospective buyer within the first 6.5 seconds. So that's why people put a lot of dollars in order to be able to put together an advert that is going to appeal to you and I within that short period of time, because we just don't have time for, you know, to stay on one product. Now, the advertisers, they are in the business of gaining the attention of people, seeking attention. But may I submit to you today that it's not just advertisers that are keen to want to gain attention. Individuals also want to gain attention of people, you and I. Whether we like it or not, we want to do things that is going to make people to applaud us, you know, want to seek the attention of others, want to basically be seen by people, especially when we do good stuff. We don't just want to do good stuff in the secret and let it lie there. We want to bring it to the open. We want people to actually acknowledge that we have done something great, something good, something marvelous. And you may say that does not apply to everyone. What do you say about introverts? I want to say to you that introverts also want to be applauded. They also want to be appreciated. They want to be seen in some way. It's just that they don't want to be seen. They don't want to be there when you are applauding them. You know, introverts, for instance, if you call them to stay in the front and speak right, like right now, some of them will freeze, you know. I know some of you there that the last thing you want to do is for the pastor to call you to come and stand in the front here. And I'm going to break that jinx this morning, okay? All right, I'm looking at you right now. Don't look away, okay? All right, just kidding. But the truth of the matter is even people that we call introverts want to be appreciated. It's just that they don't want to be put on the spot. They don't want to be there, you know. They prefer that maybe you talk about them when they're not there, or you send put it in a, you know, in a note form and send it across to them. You know, it's almost like when you're trying to praise people when they're there, they want to be modest and say, no, that's not true. You know, that's not exactly right. You know, by the grace of God, I'm married to a wonderful woman, you know, a very precious woman. You know, so each time I want to appreciate Bukie, and this is not just one of those, you know, you need to say certain good things to your wife to be able to woo her, to be able to, you know. No, that's not, unfortunately, I'm not that kind of a person, you know. You know, the romantic, whatever. I'm praying and I'm growing, you know. I was actually been accused. My wife has said, you're not even romantic. I said, you saw me like that before you married me, okay? So, but there are instances when I want to say thank you to her because of certain things, certain qualities in her. I mean, this goes beyond just trying to be romantic. This is actually, look, you are a wonderful person. I mean, you are just fantastic. And whenever I say that to her and I try to, you know, communicate that in words, I will say, no, don't say that, you know. No, don't. You're kidding me, right? No, you're not saying the truth. I'm saying the truth. Now, she wants me to keep saying it, but she keeps saying, don't say it, you know. That's the truth, you know. And then, so every one of us, we have that innate tendency to want to be seen, to want to be appreciated, to want to be applauded. And that's not a bad thing. But then, when it takes the center stage in our life, it becomes an issue. This morning, I want to bring the word of the Lord to you, and I'm speaking on what I've titled, Living for the Camera. Living for the Camera. What that simply means is that your life is all about being seen. You know, you want to be seen. And you've probably seen people trying to take pictures, you know, selfies, you know. Because they are taking it to be seen, there is a certain posture that they will assume, which they would naturally not assume if they were alone. You've seen people do like this, do like that, you know. pause their lips, raise their hands, you know, all those kind of things, because they know that the picture that they are taking is going to be seen by others. So they take that position to be seen by others. And that's why I said this is living for the camera. So anytime you do anything in order to be seen, it's like being living. That's also what I call living for the camera. You're living to be seen. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, especially those ones joining us online, we've been in this series that we have titled, How Not to Live. How Not to Live. And somebody's going to say, so what audacity? How can you be telling me how not to live? Wait. That's not me. Don't shoot at me. It's about what Jesus is telling a group of people, multitudes actually, and he was telling them how not to live. So this is not about me. This is about your Savior and my Savior. If you call yourself a believer, Jesus is going to be saying, this is not the way to live. Change your ways. And so we saw exactly how Jesus started. You know, 2 weeks ago, I started speaking to the multitudes, and he started speaking to his disciples, and he was talking to them about a certain group of people called the scribes and the Pharisees. We described them 2 weeks ago, exactly who they were and how that applied to us. Today, we want to see Jesus. Jesus is going to be bringing another point, and he will be saying, this is not how to live. And what Jesus is going to be focusing on today is that he's going to be focusing on the aspect of people that live for the camera. People that live to be seen. And he's going to be telling them, that's not how to live. That's not how to live. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 5. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. It says, but all their works they do to be seen by men. Everything that they do it in order to get attention, in order to be seen, in order to be applauded. They do it to grab the headline. He's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's saying, don't do like that. Don't live that way. Don't live your life for the camera. It says they make their phylacteries broad. What does that mean? Phylacteries are essentially small boxes that is having they usually put a leather strap on it, and they tie it around their wrist. Sometimes they tie it around their arm, you know, sometimes even around their forehead. Now, they do that in order to be seen. Now, what is contained in that box? In that box, you have, you know, copies of scriptures, you know, just strips of scriptures. And they put in there also prayer points, you know, prayer requests, you know, or prayer points, whatever they are praying in. So they put it in a box, and then they close it up, and then they strap it around their wrist, upon their forehead. This is what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. Now, normally, an average Jew will only do this when they are going for worship, you know. But the scribes and the Pharisees, because of their hypocrisy, they do it every time, everywhere they go. And what they do is that they make it very large. They make it very broad. Actually, what they were trying to do is to literally leave what the Bible talks about in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look at what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I will read from verse number 6. So this is what these guys are trying to do. They are not trying to make it literal. Verse 6 says, chapter number 6, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Verse 8, you shall bind them, see that word? You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So that's what they are actually literally leaving when he says you're going to bind them as a sign on your hand. So they will put these scriptures, they will put them in a particular small box, and then they will tie it around their hand and put some around their head to stay on their forehead. But exactly what they do is that they make them so broad, so big. You know, they're supposed to be tiny, but so that everyone will be able to see that this guy is loaded with scriptures. You know, this guy has a lot of prayers, you know, a prayer point that he's been taking. So they make it so large so that before you even see the head, you will have seen this box, you know. The Bible says they do it to be seen by men. Not only that, the Bible says also in the same verse, and they enlarge the borders of their garments. They enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, this is also called tassels. Turn with me to Numbers chapter number 13, or rather Numbers chapter 15, just to be able to understand what this is talking about. Numbers chapter 15, and you see from verse number 37, this is what it says. Numbers chapter 15 from verse 37. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corner of their garment throughout their generations and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. So this is an instruction. Why? Verse 39. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. So they put it on the corner of their garment in order to make them to remember the commandment of the Lord. Okay? Which is not a bad thing. And that you may follow and that you may not follow the idolatry to which your heart and your own eyes are inclined. But what do these guys do? The scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible says in verse 5, they enlarge the borders of their garments. They make it so big so that you can't miss it. You can't miss it. All right? So they were doing all of this for one thing, to catch the attention of people, to be seen by men. And Jesus is saying, that's the wrong way to live. That's not how to live. You don't live for the camera. They do this in verse number 6. They love to the best places at feasts. So at social gathering, they love the best places. The best seats in the synagogue, spiritual, religious gatherings, they want to be seen. Not just social gatherings, they also want to be seen in spiritual or religious gatherings. Verse 7, greetings in the marketplaces. Even when they go for secular jobs, secular employment, they want to be seen. All their life is all about being seen by men. And Jesus is saying, that's not how to live. You don't put your devotion on display. You don't put your piety on parade. That's not how to live. And so Jesus is not going to be telling them exactly how to do it. He has actually addressed this aspect much earlier. Because the question you want to ask is, so if I live that way, is there anything I'm missing? And I want to submit to you on the platform of God's word that you're missing a lot. You're missing a whole lot. Because essentially, whenever you live this way to be seen by people, to put your piety on parade, to put your devotion on display, you are robbing. You are a robber. In what way? Number one, you are robbing yourself of something. You are robbing yourself of your reward. You know, in the passage that was read earlier this morning by Mufaro, this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Each time you do a good stuff in order to be seen by others, you have just robbed yourself of the real reward. You know, you've come across people that have done some good things, and then the first thing they want to do is to make the announcement even if before they will do it, you know, for the camera. You know, the other time, there was this thing that was circulating on social media in the community, you know, back home in Nigeria, and this guy, he happened to be a counselor and he wanted to commission, you know, a bridge. Not really a bridge, something to just cross over from one community to the other. It was all made of wood, you know, some very low-class, you know, material. And he invited all of the media around the state to come and, you know, to come and see him commission that. And people were like, are you serious? And I thought I've seen the worst, but I got this message. Was that from Zambia or Zimbabwe? Somebody was trying to commission a public toilet, and it was just one public toilet, and the entire media was gathered for this guy to commission that, you know? And these are things that people do. I mean, that might have been to the extreme, but unfortunately, some of us practice this in some way or the other. You want to help someone, somebody else must get to know about it. Everyone actually must get to know about it, you know? You know, I'm just going to be helping you with this $200, you know, but you have already made like 5-10 calls to people, you know, I'm going to give this guy this money, you know, so that you just know that I'm going to give this guy, I'm just sharing it with you, you know, it's not like I want to say anything, but I just want to share with you that it's good that we help this guy, you know, or you say, oh, look, you know, overnight, you know, I prayed for you, for 3 hours, I prayed for you, why are you telling me about that, so that you will know that I'm a spiritual prayer giant, you know. And I'm not suggesting that it's not good for you to share certain things that you're doing with people with them. Sometimes it's actually very reassuring that you're supporting them in some form or shape. You know, it's not a bad thing, for instance, to walk up to the pastor and say, Pastor, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. The intention is what matters. Are you saying that so that the next time I will say, ooh, prayer man. Ooh, prayer woman. You know, because you have just put your piety on parade. You have just put your devotion to God on display. And you have just robbed yourself of reward. That's basically it. You have just robbed yourself of reward. If you're going to do anything, whatsoever you do, you don't have to go to the top of the mountain to announce it. That's not how to live as believers. That's what this passage is saying. They do these things to be seen by men, and Jesus is saying, no, don't do that. That's not the way to live. That's not the way to live. If you must do any good stuff, do it and move on. Do it and move on. He that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And the Lord will repay. Matthew chapter number 6, actually, this is actually a kind of on the heels of the Beatitudes. You remember the Beatitudes in chapter 5? And Jesus is now saying something in chapter number 6 about these same guys that we're talking about this morning, the Pharisees. Look at what the Bible says in chapter number 6. It says, take heed, Matthew chapter 6, from verse 1. It says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. Note that phrase, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Can you see that? That's clear, that's emphatic, that's unequivocal. Make sure that you're not doing it to be seen by men, because once you do that, you have no reward whatsoever. And how bad, how shameful is that? Because whatsoever thing that you should have, that should have accrued to your account, as it were, you have just blown it up by just trying to display your good works. It says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, I want to say this. Every good deed that a man does is rewarded. Every good deed that you do is rewarded. Now, the question is, who is doing the rewarding? And God is here saying to us, don't allow men to reward you. Allow me to reward you. Because the Bible says here, assuredly I say unto you, they have their reward already. So when you do it for the camera, that's the best you can get. You've already got your reward. But, verse 3, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may indeed may be in secret, that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So you don't do things for the camera, because when you do that, you rob yourself of the reward. When God is going to reward you, he's going to reward you in time, and he's going to reward you in eternity. And it's better that you wait for that than for you to actually get the reward from men. I'm challenging you, people of God. I don't know what sort of support, what sort of help, what sort of good works you are doing or that you are seeking to do. Make sure you don't do it for the camera. It does not in any way add value to your life. You need to just do it and allow the rewarder, the Lord himself, to reward you. So you are a robber because you have just robbed yourself of your reward. But that's not the only thing. You have not just robbed yourself of your reward if you did things for the camera. You have also robbed God of the glory. So you rob yourself of the reward, you rob God of the glory. Now, what do I mean? Now, there is a way that our good works, our good deeds to people, trigger the mind of people to think deeply and to think higher than they would normally think. They think deeply and they think higher in the sense that they think beyond you as a person that is doing that, and they think about the person or the motive behind it. And there is no way they will have that kind of a penetrating thought that they will not get to God. And therefore, God glory goes back to God. I don't know whether you have come across people who have done something and you look at them and say, oh, thank God for your life. You know, thank God for that man. Thank God for that woman. You know what has just happened? He has just done something good to another person, maybe to you, maybe to someone you know. But then that good work has a way of provoking your heart to begin to talk about God. And that's not just limited to believers. That's also to unbelievers. Unbelievers can look at somebody and say, wow, thank God for your life. So the thought of God, all of a sudden, you know, surfaces in the hearts of the people just because of your good works. And that's simply because you don't do it for the camera. When you don't do it for the camera, then it provokes that deep thought in the hearts of people. There was a time the people were gathered, Jesus was preaching in Luke chapter number 11, and there was a woman present, and the woman looked at Jesus. I mean, Jesus talking, and he looked at Jesus and he said, blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed is the breast, you know, from where you suck. I'm just paraphrasing, that raised you. In other words, that woman was blessing Jesus' mother, just looking at Jesus. Okay, Jesus was doing some good works, preaching, and that woman was blessing Jesus' mother. Exactly the same way it is. When we do good stuff and we're not doing it for the camera, it has a way of making God to be glorified by people. And that's exactly what the Bible means when it says in Matthew chapter number 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine. This is what it says. Let your light so shine before men, that they, who, the people, may see your good work and glorify you. Is that what it says? No. And glorify your Father in heaven. You let your light shine before men that they may see your good work. And then the next thing is that they begin to glorify your Father. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But when you do it for the camera, that glory does not get to God. Why? Because you have consumed everything. You have finished everything on the plate. Nothing gets to God. So you don't only rob yourself of the reward, but you also rob God of the glory that is indeed due to him. That is indeed due to him. So you are a double robber, you know. But it's even worse when you do things for the camera, because you don't only rob yourself of the reward, you don't only rob God of the glory, but you also rob the people of the blessing. You rob the people of the blessing. What blessing are we talking about? You know, there is a particular phrase that you keep seeing in Matthew chapter number 5. And that phrase is, you reward your reward you openly. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 6, actually. Look at verse 4. You see this word, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will himself reward you openly. Look at verse 6. It's talking about prayer here. You know, when you pray, make sure that you don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to, from verse 5 I'm reading now, for they love to stand, pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the street, that they may be, what? Seen by men. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse 6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's the second time you're going to see that phrase. It says, it talks about it when you do charitable deed, he's going to reward you openly. Now it's talking about prayer. When you pray in secret, your Father is going to reward you openly. And then you go along and you see in verse number 18, this is talking about fasting now. So it's talking about charitable deed, it's talking about prayer. Now it's talking about fasting. Verse number 16 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. you know, the other time I was, you know, if you're familiar with these, they just finished, you know, the Muslim fasting, you know. I'm aware of that because apart from the fact that I know what goes on back home, where there is a heavy Muslim community, I also have patients here, you know, who are, you know, Muslims, you know. and many of them, when they are fasting like that, they just want the doctor to know that I'm fasting, you know. And some of them will come to you and they will make complaints, and then you say, okay, so we're going to prescribe this medication, and say, oh, no, doctor, I'm fasting, you know. And then you begin to ask yourself, so you came to see the doctor because you are sick. What exactly do you expect me to prescribe? Water? You know? Of course, it's going to be medication, you know? And they'll say, no, I can't use it now. Let me finish the fasting. I will come back. Then you know a person that is not really sick, you know, that is just seeking attention, you know? And then, you know, and some of them, you know, just like it appears to some of us, I'm just not taking on those people. Just like any believer, you know, when we fast, we want people to know, you know, I'm just waiting upon the Lord, you know. you know, and then you are weak, you're sick, you're sitting down at your work, and somebody say, oh, can you get that fire? Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. You know, I'm just not feeling great. I'm waiting upon the Lord today, you know. If you're waiting upon the Lord, you don't have to come to work. Go and wait upon the Lord in your house, you know. And then when you finish waiting upon the Lord, you can come to work, you know, because you can't be coming to work and be lazy because you're waiting upon the Lord, you know. Anyway, look, the point I'm making is this. People just want to make you know that they are doing something fantastic, you know, in some way or form or shape. And the Bible says here, it says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18, this is where I'm going. so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. So three times we have come across this word, reward you openly. Now, listen to me, people of God. I want you to stay with me because I'm rounding up very soon. Now, when you do things for the camera, you rob yourself of the reward. You rob God of the glory. You rob men of the blessing. What sort of blessing? The reason why God makes that reward to be open, to be done in an open way, one of the reasons why he does that is because he wants to use you as an example for others. He wants others to see the result of not doing things for the camera. So when he rewards you openly, the next guy is blessed because he sees in the open the result of somebody that is okay to do charitable works in the secret. So what's the blessing? It's the blessing of a reference. You are supposed to be a reference. It's the blessing of being used as a template to be copied. It's the blessing of being used as an example. That is the blessing you are robbing the other person of, because you have done something for the camera. Because when you have done it for the camera, there will be no provision for you to be rewarded in the open. Therefore, you have robbed me of seeing how God blesses a person who does his good works without showing it forth in front of the camera. You have robbed the man, the woman, the boy, the girl in your sphere of influence of that opportunity to see an example, to see a template, to see the reference point of somebody to follow. That's what you have robbed them of. And I'm saying to you, people of God, Jesus is not impressed when we bring our devotion into public display. I mean, there are certain things that you do in the public, and that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, we talk about praying, you know, as a corporate entity, as a corporate body. I mean, you can't shy away from that and say, because I don't want to be seen praying. There is a place for that. You know, there is a place there where you share with the people that are within your sphere of influence about the fact that you are fasting without necessarily pointing attention to yourself. I mean, often and again, in our family, for instance, they already know certain days of the week that I'm fasting. So if you want to say that I'm already announcing, of course, they know. And it's not because I'm trying to announce it. It's just because it's a part of my own walk with God. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a deliberate decision to want to make others to know about your good works or your spiritual walk with God, your religious walk with God, or whatever it is that has to do with your devotion that is making you to be the center and not God. That's what we're talking about. If you do that, you rob yourself of the reward. You rob God of the glory. And of you, of course, you rob the people of the blessing of having a reference, an example, and a template to follow. God, the Bible says this about the man Abraham. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2. It says, look unto Abraham your father. That's a template. Look unto Sarah who bore you. That's an example. For I called him alone and I blessed him. That's the kind of blessing that you rob me and others of when you put your devotion on display. Not too long ago, I came across, something that was written by a man known as John Wesley. John Wesley happened to be an evangelist, you know, in the 18th century. And this is his rule for life. John Wesley has this. This is the rule that he patterns his life with. You read with me on the screen. It says, do all the good you can by all the means you can. In all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. But can I add something? As much as possible, don't do it for the camera. Do it solely because you are a lover of Jesus, a follower of God. Don't do it to impress people. Because that's not how to live. Let us pray.